Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
On Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. A radio.com station from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
Happy Saturday, Delaware Valley. This is not Dom Giordano. This is Matt Rooney of SaveJersey.com, and it is amazing to be here with you again on this beautiful Saturday in early spring. I am co-hosting again this Saturday with the legendary Dom Giordano, who's here with us. And if you want to get in on the conversation, you know how. 855-839-1210 here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Dom, how are you doing, sir?
Tremendous. Just sunning my stuff here on the outside domain of the Dom Dome, Matt. Thank God the crew is done.
I was just wondering what Dom Giordano does on a beautiful spring Saturday. Any time of year is a great time of year to go to the Jersey Shore, Dom. I know the Jersey Shore is one of our mutual loves, but it's a little bit chilly for some, or maybe you still have some stuff going on up here on the weekend, so it's a little bit early to make the journey. So you like going outside of the deck?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What's your favorite shore town, Matt? Because we occasionally, Dan and I, we talk about how is it you end up at one shore town? We started out the Giordanos, my parents, way back when. It was Wildwood, then it was Wildwood Crest. Ro and I went nuts, and we were moving to Cape May. We were kind of snobby, but just kidding. But we have found paradise in North Wildwood now, because the block we're on, the area we're on, is only a minute or so, a minute and a half from the beginning of the boardwalk. But it's a secluded block with people that live there year-round principally. So you're not in the center of honky-tonk, and yet you can walk right there.
I was just going to say that. That's one of the beautiful things about North Wildwood. You're close to the action, but you're just enough removed from it where it doesn't overwhelm you. That's kind of how I feel about Sea Isle. That's my favorite town.
Oh, I didn't know that.
When I was 21, there was no better place in the world. And I still love it now that the bars are a little less enticing, but you still got a great family atmosphere. You're close to Ocean City and all the amusements. Can't wait to get back down there again. It's only a matter of time.
And that's where you grew up. That's where your parents went originally, Sea Isle City?
Yes, my mother is a proud graduate of LaSalle University. So she was down there when she was in college. So naturally, she wanted to take her family back to her old stomping ground. So between there and Ocean City.
Oh, okay. I don't know how much you heard of it. I know you were in court this week. We had Ocean City on. Dan has been really vigilant. He's got some good contacts. This never-ending story where Ocean City had to have their town hall meeting to condemn the newspaper of record. And now, apparently, they're moving to get rid of them as the paper of record. But Jersey has all kinds of arcane laws. They may print, apparently, in Pennsylvania. If that's the case, they might be out. This, of course, is the death threats with Van Drew and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's something we're definitely going to delve into over at SaveJersey.com, Dom. There's this ridiculous, outdated rule in New Jersey that forces
newspapers, or I should say forces towns to kind of subsidize newspapers and make it so that they have to advertise notices there. And I mean, nothing against our great New Jersey newspapers. Some of them are still doing some decent work, but everyone's online in 2021. So this Van Drew story, I think, kind of inadvertently shone light on that. And it's just one of the many different government inefficiencies that are still out there on both sides of the river. So we're going to keep a close eye on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. What else is on your mind today? What's been going on this week that you're on?
Well, I think we need to address the 800-pound gorilla in the room, or I guess I should say the 800-pound dog-faced lying pony soldier, which is this Joe Biden press conference. And you and I, Dom, have heard people say for the past 4 years that Donald Trump was unstable, that Donald Trump was a madman. The media focused in on a laser with every small, minute misstep or mangled syllable the man made. But I think in one press conference, the first press conference of Joe Biden's administration, he committed more gaffes than Donald Trump managed in 4 years. I mean, I got to the end of it, Dom, and I don't know how you feel about it. My reaction was that this guy doesn't belong behind the Resolute desk. He belongs on a bench feeding pigeons. That's how bad it is. He was reading from notes half the time, which, particularly when he was reading from notes talking about the North Korean threat, how does that not concern you as an American, regardless of your party affiliation? I think he short-circuited at least three times and seemed to completely lose where he was. I think, Dan, we have clip 10C, and if anyone missed this, they really need to hear it.
So the best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to, anyway, we're ready to get a lot done. And if we have to, if there's complete lockdown and chaos as a consequence of the filibuster, then we'll have to go beyond what I'm talking about. Okay, hang on. Sorry. Oh, Sangmin, Ms. Kim.
Thank you, Mr. President. To follow up on the filibuster, so do you believe it should take 60 votes to end a filibuster on legislation or 51?
If we could end it with 51, we would have no problem. You're going to have to, the existing rule, it's going to be hard to get a parliamentary ruling that allows 50 votes to end the filibuster, the existence of a filibuster.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, what can you say about it? It was absolutely brutal. It was painful. And at a time when this country is facing so many profound challenges, it's abundantly clear that we have a president who, regardless of whether you agree with his ideology, we've gotten beyond that point already. He clearly is not able to interface with a world leader. He's not able to talk to Congress. He's not able to function unless he has notes. If there was ever any doubt, Dom, why Joe Biden waited until the end of March to have his first press conference, that doubt has now been completely addressed. It was scary. It was scary.
I don't think we'll see another one for a while. And again, I said before, if I'm an advisor, what are they going to do if you don't do a news conference? It's better for them not to do it and just take it and say, we're not doing it, than to do this. And this is incremental. It's only going to get worse. The most disturbing thing to me, Matt, though, these historians, right, this Meacham guy and others met with him and told him he's on path to be a significantly consequential president, like FDR and LBJ. The scary thing is he doesn't know what he's doing, but he knows he wants to do more of it, big. Big, big, big. So anything they'll say to him, if it sounds big, he's going to sign off on that.
You're right. It's almost as if a little bit of the old Joe Biden is in there, who you may have not been a fan of the 1970s or 80s version of Joe Biden. I wasn't a huge fan of him. But that was a Joe Biden that at least had a clear orientation. He was a far-left liberal from the mid-Atlantic. Now, it does feel as if you've got some voices in his administration that are putting notes in front of him, and he's reading them. And for the sake of the world, let alone the United States of America, we have to hope that the people giving him these notes are people that have this country's best interests in mind. And given what I heard the other day, I have no confidence in that. Ultimately, I think we're in real trouble. I think, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this today, Kamala Harris knows that. And Kamala Harris's faction inside the Biden administration is already making moves. They're making some very early changes, and they're pushing for some changes to try to put Kamala in the forefront. I was talking about this with producer Dan before the show, Dom. I don't know if you missed it, but there was actually a memorandum that went out. Inside the Biden administration, they got picked up by a few outlets, including the Washington Examiner. The Biden administration, and we've never seen this before, has already canceled itself. It's now supposed to be referred to as the Biden-Harris administration.
Yes, pretty unusual, yeah.
It's completely unusual. It wasn't the Bush-Cheney administration, as much power as Dick Cheney had. It wasn't the Obama-Biden administration. They did the best they could to hide Joe Biden from much of the Obama administration because, Barack Obama famously said, it's just Joe being Joe, and you didn't always know what you were getting. It wasn't the Clinton-Gore administration. But now we have the Biden-Harris administration, and we already see that they're not on the same page. They're not the team that they're presenting themselves at. In 1 week's span, Dom, we have the Biden administration putting out there, making an announcement that Kamala Harris is going to lead our country's immigration policy. We know that we have a crisis right now on the southern border. Just a couple days later, we have a Harris aide telling the press, no, the vice president's not going to be in charge of the border policy. So we don't even know who's in charge of the border right now. And, you know, again, I hate to disrupt this beautiful Saturday we're having because everybody looks forward to the weekend with some grave news, but we're in bad shape in Washington, D.C. The president of the United States, we're lucky if he knows where he is today, and his vice president is chomping at the bit to have his job, but isn't even willing to take cues from his advisors. So, you know, the worst they've said about the Trump administration, you can say it 15 times with more sincerity about the Biden administration. They're flailing. They're flailing.
Yep, absolutely. All right. It's Matt Rooney, Dom Giordano, tag teaming again this Saturday. You get in right now at 855-839-1210. We'd love to hear from you. 855-839-1210.
Welcome back. This is Matt Rooney on 1210 WPHT. We're happy to have you with us on this gorgeous spring Saturday. Give us a shout if you want to get in on the action. The more voices, the merrier. 855-839-1210. Have the pleasure today of co-hosting with Dom Giordano. Whew. Things are a mess in Washington, D.C., more so than ever before. But I have to tell you, if there's one thing that drives me crazy, it's not people that disagree with me. I'm a lawyer, Dom. I enjoy people disagreeing with me. It's what I do for a living. But what I can't stand are liars and hypocrites. And the stunning level of hypocrisy coming out of D.C. right now on the filibuster. We just heard Joe Biden talk a little bit about it on the other end of the break. And after years of defending the filibuster, Democrats are now demanding that it end. And Joe Biden made a point during his press conference, his now infamous press conference, of insisting that the filibuster be reformed. And he didn't just stop with demanding the filibuster be reformed? Because again, I mean, reasonable people can disagree about a number of different things, including whether or not the filibuster should take a different form than it currently has. But Joe Biden hop, skipped, and jumped right past that and played the race card. Let's bring up clip 10F. You need to hear this if you missed it.
Worried about is how un-American this whole initiative is. It's sick. It's sick. Deciding in some states that you cannot bring water to people standing in line, waiting to vote. Deciding that you're going to end voting at 5 o'clock when working people are just getting off work. Deciding that there will be no absentee ballots under the most rigid circumstances. It's all designed, and I'm going to spend my time doing three things. One, trying to figure out how to pass the legislation passed by the House, number one. Number two, educating the American public. The Republican voters I know find this despicable. Republican voters, the folks out in the outside this White House. I'm not talking about the elected officials. I'm talking about voters, voters. And so I'm convinced that we'll be able to stop this because it is the most pernicious thing. This makes Jim Crow look like Jim Eagle. I mean, this is gigantic.
Jim Crow, which for those of you that learned American history from the Teachers Union, you may not know what Jim Crow is, but Jim Crow, a series of laws enacted in southern states that inhibited Black Americans from exercising the same rights as white Americans. That's what he's comparing the use of the filibuster to. But what Joe Biden, America's leading lying dog-faced pony soldier, left out of his rant was that in 2020, guess how many times the Democrats used the filibuster? 327 times. Not three times, not 27 times, 327 times. The GOP used it once. In 1999, the Democrats used it 58 times, just in case you're sitting out there thinking, oh, but Matt, but, you know, naturally the Democrats used it more with Donald Trump in office. 1999 to 2000, Bill Clinton was president, and his party used it 58 times. The filibuster is not in of itself racist. This is an institution that goes back to 1806. Aaron Burr was involved with the beginning of the filibuster. For those of you who are in history nerds like me, Aaron Burr's the guy that shot Alexander Hamilton. And Washington himself, which I know he's not popular with the cancel culture crowd, he's the one that said that our government, our system of government at the federal level, doesn't exist to get rapid change accomplished. That's not the goal of the federal government. The goal of the federal government is to accomplish legislation and at times act as a check against the mob. He referred to it when he was talking to Thomas Jefferson as a cooling saucer. The Senate was a cooling saucer. They were supposed to cool legislation that came in that was passed by the House, the popular branch of our federal legislature. So, you know, for Joe Biden, Dom, to refer to the filibuster as racist, you know, he's insulting our intelligence and he's trying to prey upon people's ignorance. But a very simple review of the facts or a simple Google search will reveal that it's absolute nonsense.
Well, absolutely. But here's the thing, Matt. We talked yesterday and we had O'Reilly on. He made a great point. Some of this is agenda with the press corps there. Some of it is they're just not that good. They're dolts. Not one factual statement was made. In other words, they didn't bring up what they could have brought up that you just did and then have him have to reply to it. And I don't think it was all protecting him. They just deal in images and emotion. There should have been a challenge about the border. What are the border statistics that he just completely lied about? Who's the metric that we go with? We go with the Border Patrol. Border Patrol would have told us there is a huge, unbelievable surge. He said it's just the normal annual surge. If somebody had said, here are the facts, because you had a lot of follow-ups, he was willing to do Definitely. Three or four follow-ups, you could have shown that he doesn't know what he's talking about, he's lying, and what the facts are. They chose not to do. They don't even think to do that because that's not how they're either trained or how they see the world. And of course, they didn't call on Peter Ducey or anybody like that. So there was nothing factual.
Peter Ducey and some of the conservative journalists probably just weren't on his sheet of approved journalists that he was reading from.
I'm sure they weren't, and he won't be, and they don't care about it. You got to admire, they're telling you, we're not going to do what you're telling us to do that's a logical and right thing. They're not.
Yeah.
They can't.
I mean, what do we expect?
This guy can't withstand. He couldn't withstand any kind of questioning for more than 3 or 4 minutes that was intense or anything like that. He broke himself.
That's exactly right. When you think back to other recent presidencies, mm-hmm. again, use Donald Trump just because he's the most recent comparison point here. Say what you want about the man. Sometimes he said some crazy stuff, and I voted for him twice. But when did you ever see Donald Trump cower or wilt or melt under an assault from the press during a press conference? It just didn't happen. He walked out there without notes. And most of the time I agreed with what he said. Every now and then he said something crazy, which, I mean, look, Dom's on the radio. I'm a lawyer. We speak in front of a lot of people for a living. You're going to occasionally say something that wasn't exactly sounding as great as it did in your head before it came out. But, you know, Joe Biden, it's every 5 seconds. And you know, you don't have to be a neurologist. You don't have to be an expert in public speaking. You don't have to have any familiarity with being president of the United States to know that something's not quite right here. But back to my original point, Dom, all of that I could put in a box and deal with it by itself. But the guy's a liar. The guy's a liar. He's completely manufacturing a history for the filibuster that just isn't there. And I'm worried. I'm worried you got a lot of people out there right now in the Delaware Valley. Maybe you're one of them. Maybe you're listening right now that has been misled into believing that the filibuster originated with the civil rights movement. It's just not the case.
No, not at all. So 855-839-1210. We'd love to hear from you. Everything in play. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. You just push #1210. Imagine that news conference if somebody had gone toe-to-toe with an actual fact, or try to do that. Not just process questions, not just questions that are inside baseball, inside the beltway, but had talked about the border and had locked down for the American people that, yes, indeed, it is a surge that's unprecedented. That's exactly what needed to be done. So 855-839-1210. We'd love to hear from you. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. You push #1210. Dom Giordano, Matt Rooney on a beautiful Saturday. Jump on board. Be heard here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
WPHT, The Rich Scioli Show. Free speech lives here.
Welcome back, Delaware Valley. Matt Rooney with you today on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, co-hosting with the legendary Dom Giordano. We want you to get in on this conversation. Call in number 855-839-1210. And I really would like to hear your opinion on the state of the media in the country. Something I know Dom Giordano has plenty of opinions about. In the context of this Joe Biden press conference, we talked a lot about today already how anyone listening to it, right, left, somewhere in between, would have been not just dismayed, but horrified by how terrible the President of the United States sounded and how completely lost in the woods he came across. But you wouldn't know it if you didn't listen for yourself, Dom, and only heard what the media had to say about it. Just listen to clip 16 here, CNN's Van Jones.
President Biden say there that he will not let unaccompanied children, migrants, stay on the other side of the border and starve. Obviously, as humans, we applaud the empathy. But others are accusing him of essentially encouraging more of this kind of migration, more of this dangerous journey because of his humanity. And the border facilities are right now overwhelmed.
But I think that Biden, if you listen to his full comment, did a really good job of pushing back on a couple of fictions. One is that people are coming because Biden is such a good guy. I think he pointed out that, you know, pre-COVID, this kind of surge was an annual occurrence, and it is an annual occurrence no matter who's in the White House because of conditions back in home countries. And I think, look, it's a tough situation he's in. I wish he were more transparent. I think he should let the cameras in. I think that it would actually bring out the best in the American people to push us toward resolving this in a comprehensive way. So I think he's making a mistake by not having the cameras in there. But we have a complicated relationship to immigration. We are a nation of immigrants and laws. And I think that Biden stuck up for our humanity as well as our laws today.
Push back. Dom, I think if Joe Biden had pushed back, he would have fell over during this press conference. Did you hear any coherent pushback?
No. And again, though, some of it is not just they're going to overlook this guy. They just don't bring up facts too often. Even with Trump, they wouldn't bring up a fact and argue over that. It was just emotion, how people are feeling. So it's a lie. We don't have these surges during March. The desert's still cold at that point. They're coming because of Biden, not his basic humanity, because he told them to come. It would have been helpful, Matt, if we had the debate and stopped his lying right there and said this is unprecedented. That would have been a start. Then we could have the humanity debate. We know how that goes. Trump already won that. I think a mistake he made the last time, he didn't talk about immigration quite as much. If he had mano-a-mano with Biden, I think he wins that every time. Americans get it. They don't want to be overrun by this. That will continue to play out.
Ultimately, I agree 110%. There was so much that went into the 2016 election, but if Trump had not allowed himself to be distracted by the Russiagate situation and just hammered in on the things that made him president in the first place,
right,
one of which was his straight talk on immigration and the border, we'd probably be in a much different position today. We would have been spared having to suffer through that Joe Biden press conference.
All right, how about if we take some callers here for Matt Rooney? Let's go to Mike, and Mike is in on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Mike, go right ahead.
Oh, hi, good afternoon. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Yes, go ahead, Mike.
Good. Okay, I just wanted to point out that, it's pretty much time has passed now for doing anything about Biden. We just have to look to the future, and I think we need to look for new people, and I'm calling about Seth Grossman, who's running for Senate in New Jersey. And what you thought about him and his chances.
So just to fill everybody in here, you're talking about the legislative contest that's happening down in New Jersey's 2nd Legislative District this year. So, you know, for my friends on the other side of the river in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, we're a little bit different in a few different ways. You don't need me to tell you that. But we have off-year legislative elections. We go to the odd years when we're electing our governor, when we're going to pass judgment on our legislators and whether they deserve another 2 years in Trenton. So there's a legislative fight going on down in the 2nd Legislative District, which is completely contained in Atlantic County. Atlantic City's part of that district. And you've got Vince Polistena versus Seth Grossman in the Republican primary. Look, Seth is a great guy, and Seth, over the years, I thought has gotten a little bit of a bad rap, a raw deal, however you want to say it, from the media about some of the things that he has said about American politics, and particularly how badly Black Americans have been treated by the Democrat Party. At the same time, unfortunately, we have to be adults and realists about this. The messenger matters as much as the message. And Seth has also said some things which could have been said much better. And again, a simple Google search will tell you all you need to know about this. So, you know, how does it ultimately shake out? I think Vince Polistena probably ends up winning that one. I think Vince Polistena probably gets the Republican endorsement down there. And that's a tight district. That's one of those districts on election night, Dom, where if you're looking to see whether or not Phil Murphy's going to get reelected, you got to look to see how Vince Polistena and his team perform in battleground Atlantic County. That's a place that got completely walloped by Phil Murphy's lockdown measures. I think you had some of the highest foreclosure rates in the entire country, Dom.
Well, right. I like how you put that. Look, you have more knowledge than I. I just remember the name Grossman, and I remember some wild stuff. And it's one thing to be, as you put it, you know, on the cutting edge of some of these issues, racial or not. It's another to, I don't know, be colorful in a way that the media is going to be able to pounce on.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. All the greatest politicians in history, ones that the conservative movement holds out there as a hero, like Ronald Reagan. You know, we love Ronald Reagan not because he was perfectly right on every darn issue. We like Ronald Reagan and we remember him fondly because he was capable of articulating conservative ideas in a way that just didn't make conservatives happy, but also convinced Democrats and independents and everybody else in between to listen to him and take him seriously and to give his vision a chance. So that's the kind of leader we got to be promoting in New Jersey and Pennsylvania and everywhere else if we want to begin to get things back on the track. So, you know, thanks so much for that, Mike.
All right, let's go to Mary Ann.
Great question.
Mary Ann, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Mary Ann, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I want to compliment you because all through this pandemic, like I've listened to you for years, but I've listened to you just about every day because you're always relentlessly cheerful and you embody Philadelphia and the places that I came from and the Jersey Shore. And so first I wanted to compliment you.
Well, Marianne, Marianne. We have all afternoon. Thank you, Marianne.
That's I'll
tell you how much
really
it means.
I really want
Thank
your
you.
Calendar, Dom. I don't know
what I have to
do to get this count.
All right. Well, Dan is squirreling them away. I don't know what he's doing with them. Yes. What happened there, Dan? Marianne left?
Yeah. Sorry about that. We'll get it to her. I got it.
Okay.
Her. Yep.
All right. 855-839-1210, AT&T and Verizon Wireless. You just push pound 1210 and you'll get on board. Matt, I don't know if you saw this, but a couple of really good investigative reporters, one brought in Liberty, they called a lot of people, a ton of people. And the mainstream of the Democrat Party has not and probably will not endorse Larry Krasner. You don't see people out there. Now, by mainstream, I'm talking even crazies like Jim Kenney. They have not endorsed, nor do I think they necessarily are going to endorse Larry Krasner. And we're getting pretty close to the period of time when they should be doing that. They're not going to say anything negative about him. He's the Democrat DA. But that tells you how far it's gone and how out of control this guy is.
It really is remarkable. And I have to tell you, Dom, and everybody else listening out there, as a New Jersey conservative, if I ever want to feel better about the state of my state, I go and I look up a story about Larry Krasner. Because as crazy as it is over here in Trenton, it's still crazier with Larry Krasner. And I can't believe that the Democrat Party in Philadelphia is actually kind of sort of standing up to this guy. I didn't expect that. Now, of course, declining to endorse someone isn't the same thing as taking a stand against
right.
them. And I don't think that point could be lost. And I know you agree with that, Dom. But, I mean, you know, just look at the most recent angle, this restorative justice push. I think that we can all agree that this country has a history of racism, because it's not a perfect country. It's a fantastic country, the greatest in the world. But obviously, at different points in our history, we have failed to live up to our mission of creating a better union. That's what this entire American experiment is about. But you've got radicals like Larry Krasner that think that our country's fundamentally racist, that it's irredeemably racist, and they're pushing this restorative justice notion, where now we're not even going to send people to jail for committing crimes. And I was reading a story just the other day. It's unbelievable. There are hundreds of people in Philadelphia, hundreds who have committed crimes that may ultimately not end up going to jail, despite the fact that they were arrested, because of Larry Krasner. Instead, what they're going to do is they're going to take people. For example, I think one of the ones I read about, Dom, was somebody who was involved in what was described as a human assembly line helping remove goods from a Walgreens. We got to figure out which Walgreens that was, by the way. That person may not see the inside of a jail cell. That person may not be prosecuted, and the DA may not seek to lock them up because of this radical idea which underpins Larry Krasner's philosophy. And the proof is in the pudding. You don't have to believe Matt Rooney or Dom Giordano or even all of our worldview to recognize that this is nuts, because we see the statistics. Homicides in Philadelphia up dramatically over the past year. Crime is rampant. And I'll tell you, Dom, you know, I'm a South Jersey guy. I'm a Camden County guy. I lived in Collingswood for a while. Property values and rents are through the roof. Why is it? Because there are people who are now afraid to live in Philadelphia because of the world that Larry Krasner is building.
Well, absolutely. Monday, Matt, Dan and I are working it up. We're going to talk about it. And in that piece that you're talking about on restorative justice, the head of the Asian Merchants talks about these poor people. And we know that story. That's the side the Democrat Party doesn't want to talk about. Where are Asians really under attack? It's in the big cities. And who the attackers are not people like the guy in the massage parlors. And they're talking about businesses that maybe lost $250,000 and the restoration was $10,000 to $20,000. They're talking about how they protected their business, and in the future they're going to protect it themselves with force of arms if necessary. So this guy is, this is as wild as anything we've ever seen in the history of this area. That's how out of control it is. And yet I still think he's the odds-on favorite to be the DA. So 855-839-1210, you get in with Matt Rooney, Dom Giordano with you, AT&T and Verizon Wireless. You just push pound 1210.
You are in command. Tell your smart speaker, play WPHD.
Hello, Delaware Valley. Matt Rooney on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, co-hosting with Dom Giordano. Give us a call, whatever you're doing today, whether you're lounging on your deck, whether you're taking a drive to the shore, whether you're hanging out up in the Poconos, 855-839-1210.
Hey, by the way, Matt, I've never understood that Pocono choice with the Jersey Shore so close by. It gets me in trouble every year. I can't understand it.
Dom, you know, I got to tell you, I'm in the same boat. If you give me a choice between a beach chair and hiking through the woods, I'm going to take a beach chair every time. But, I do get it. You know, in this day and age, maybe it's a little different now with COVID, but it's so hectic. It's so hectic. So if you can have the peace and the tranquility you can get if you're sitting on a lake in the Poconos, I understand the appeal. I'd never trade in a beach house for a mountain house. But you know, I get it. I get it. To each their own.
Oh, I'd love to hear the defense of that. We did it once. Roe wanted to do it. And we may have seen a deer running back and forth and all. We couldn't wait to get out of there, though.
Dom Giordano, not much for nature.
Hey, let's put that into a promo. Yes, I love it. Yes. He hates nature. This man hates nature. Tune in. You'll hate nature, too.
Hey, can I ask Matt a question that was a very hot topic during our weekly show today?
Yes.
Matt, is golf a sport?
Oh, God. Here we go with this guy beating a drum.
Is golf a sport? At least you didn't ask me whether or not cheerleading was a sport.
Well, cheerleading's not. Golf is borderline. And this came about because of what, Dan?
Well, what were we talking about? Why did it come about? Oh, esports. Because I was making the argument that esports is a sport. And Dom said, well, you don't think golf's a sport, which is a great point. So I think esports and golf should be grouped together. So if you're going to consider golf a sport, you got to consider esports a sport.
Now, wait a minute. Golfers are becoming more athletic versus a bunch of slackers. I think of the producer's lounge at 1210 WPHT when they sit around with their feet up all day. And that's what eSports is. So because of being provoked with that, Matt, we get a call from the head of eSports at Monco Community College, very nice woman, talking about how they're lifting weights and all. I let it go. I didn't get nuts. I didn't say, what kind of weightlifting exercise are you doing to play eSports? But come on.
Something I learned years ago with SaveJersey.com, Dom, and I know you know this from all your years in the radio, you will never cease to be amazed by the people that you can tick off by having an otherwise mundane opinion.
Right, and it's not. Here's what people don't get about talk radio. It's not politics that sets this off. It's stuff like this. It's everyday sort of stuff that people just, you know, get. It was pretty funny stuff. That's what she said, nutrition programs. I was mean. I said, can you have a bag of potato chips when you're playing the big event and all that? That was a bit out of bounds.
I'm going to say it, though. Golf is a sport. Golf
okay.
is a sport.
Well, is eSports a sport then, Matt?
Now you're stretching it. now you're stretching it. But look, my first job, my first summer job, I was a caddy. And if you think it's an easy sport to manage, at least if you're riding around without a cart, carrying that bag, making the shots in the heat. I mean, there's definitely some physicality involved in the entire thing. So
he's mocking you, Matt. He's going to after you. This is what I have to hear every day.
This is the last time Matt Rooney will be on 1210 WPHD. I'm just
saying.
Goodbye, everyone. It's been fantastic. This is Matt Rooney signing off.
Yes, exactly. And to open up, if we have a couple minutes for the end of the hour, open up on cheerleading. Those that try to tell us that's a sport.
Cheerleading. I'll tell you what. I actually... I shouldn't even say this because last week you guys tricked me into talking about an ex-girlfriend. So I don't want to make it a habit of talking about an ex-girlfriend every time.
No, please do. Please do make
it a habit. Yeah, it's like this is now the Matt dating corner. I dated a girl for a number of years who was a cheerleading coach, and this was a regular argument. I didn't dump her for that reason. We didn't break up for that. But you know, I mean, I think that you got to differentiate, right? There's competition cheerleading. When you get on a bus and you go to some conference somewhere in the country, and it's more like gymnastics, really. I think it should be called gymnastics, wearing a cheerleading uniform. And then they're standing around shaking a pom-pom and repeating repetitive phrases. I mean, Dan and I could do that. No one would want to watch it.
I'm 100% with you. If you watch Cheer on Netflix, it's a heck of a competition show. Well, it's a reality show delving into the background and the lives of cheerleaders, competition cheerleaders at the college level. And those people are athletes indeed, but I'm with you. Just standing on the sideline shaking a pom-pom, I don't know if I can consider that a sport.
Look,
all cheerleading is not equal.
If one pyramid could run and knock the other pyramid over and we saw a winner, then it's a sport.
That's a sport I would watch.
Yeah, exactly.
Sign me up.
All right, remember it was Matt Rooney who attacked today. It wasn't me. It wasn't Dom. This is all a mirage. And it was Dan involved in this. If you're a golfer, I bet you're in perfect athletic, physically fit. Just look at how people are now. If you're hoping your kid goes to school for esports to play in some big tournament someday, oh, my God.
Matt, are you a gamer?
I am not a gamer. I am not a gamer. I don't know how grown men have time to game.
Oh, yes. Nicely played. That should continue into the next hour.
I met someone recently about my age. I'm in my mid-30s who said they were a gamer. I mean, look, in theory, I'd love to sit around playing Mario Kart or whatever else people are playing these days, but how do you have the time?
There you go. Well,
a lot
Dan
of Pokemon.
It.
A lot of Pokemon.
There you go. Dan finds it. Dan, are we at the top of the hour here? I'm not sure on this clock.
Yes, we are. Yep.
Because I'm enjoying this. All right. It's 855-839-1210. Notice, if you're that might be a follow-up. If you're a grown man, you probably shouldn't be doing X. Might be a side question of the day.
Ooh.
All right, Dom Giordano with Matt Rooney, 855-839-1210. I don't hate nature. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. Just push pound 1210. Big hour coming up here on Talk Radio 1210.
Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. A radio.com station from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
Happy Saturday, Delaware Valley. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're enjoying this weather. Hope you're having a great weekend. You earned it. You really did. This is Matt Rooney, along with Dom Giordano on 1210 WPHT, your favorite talk radio station. Get in on it this hour. Whatever you're doing, we want to hear from you. 855-839-1210. You know, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'll break the ice and I'll start it off. I think today, Dom, is the first day this season I am going to go over to my favorite butcher. I'm going to pick up some burgers and steaks, and I'm going to barbecue.
Sounds good.
It's time.
Sounds now, good. That sounds fantastic, in my opinion.
As a vegetarian, Godspeed.
No.
You're a vegetarian, Dom?
Yeah, no, he's not. Oh, we're not going to go down this path. He's not a vegetarian, no.
I was going to say, I've been listening to the man for like, I don't know how many years. How did I miss this? My heart dropped.
Well, I have my own dietary definition of that. I do eat fish and things like that. Oh, then, yes, I am. It's no problem. Yes.
Dom's
you're
the kind
a pescatarian.
Of guy that if he smells a nice pan of bacon, he's not going to be able to resist eating some of that
bacon. No bacon. Maybe some prosciutto. Yeah.
Okay, so here's going to be the compromise, Dom. If you come over to my house, I will throw some shrimp on the barbecue, but I will wrap them in prosciutto. How's that?
Oh, it sounds good. How about a blooming onion? I'm a big fan of the blooming onion.
We can make that happen, Dom.
Oh, okay, good, good. Mm-hmm. So what's your best barbecue tip for people out there listening?
You can't leave it alone. And I get that that's easier said than done. Understand I have a toddler, so there's that temptation to wander from the barbecue. But you have to be there to mind the barbecue. You have to make sure that you have a beverage, maybe two, so you don't have that temptation to wander away. You have to make sure you have all your implements set up before you actually start the barbecue. Because it's an active activity. You can't just leave it alone like a cake in the oven and check back in 30 minutes. If you do that, you're going to end up with a hockey puck. And I get that some people out there like their stuff well done, but, you know, those people are also barbarians.
I feel like 50% of a barbecue, though, is the entertaining aspect of it. And I feel like you're sitting there angry at people if they come and interrupt you from your stare fest at your barbecue.
No, it's social. It's social. Everyone should be encouraged to congregate around the barbecue and have a conversation about whatever's going on. Sports, life, politics, maybe whatever you were talking about on Dom Giordano. That's what the barbecue is. It's a conversation piece.
Ah, do you wear any kind of apparel? Do you have any kind of hat or other apparel for the barbecue?
I don't wear a hat. You just wear clothes that you're not afraid to get plenty of meat stains on. Because like
And you have a butcher? Who has a butcher? Like, you know, to a butcher?
Oh, shout out to Arnie's in Cherry Hill, Dom. Let me tell you something. You'll never get a better cut.
Okay.
These are the things that are important. I'm not a gamer. I'm a meat guy.
Okay. Well, Dan likes street meat. We're still getting that from the other day. People were shocked to try to figure out what that is. They heard him say, you know, somebody's... I don't know, in the streets of Port Richmond, sizzling up some meat. The smell of it intrigues them.
I love the smell of the sausage and onions. There's nothing better than
street meat. Yeah.
I don't want to anger anybody else today, but streets in Port Richmond, something about that just doesn't get my appetite going.
All right.
Hey, you watch yourself. The streets are very bumpy, but there's some great food on those streets.
Oh, yeah. The kibasi crowd's coming after Matt Rooney now. Yeah.
I gained at least 10 pounds in law school. I went to Rutgers Camden. There was this great cart outside that did the most amazing kibasi. Destroyed my health, made me very happy at the same time.
You went to Rutgers Law, too?
I did. I went to Rutgers Camden. Yep.
Oh, that's where I went. What was your dash time running for your life at night? I went at night to get to your car.
I think I could have qualified for the Olympics by the time I was a 3L. Yeah.
I mean, it's a scary place. I went to night school and I won the moot court competition. Dan can't stop me from talking about that.
I think you have to win a moot court competition to be on radio, Dom, for as long as you have and do it well.
I thought it was pretty easy after, you know, all other kinds of things that you do, Matt. So it was the New York Times, Sullivan versus the New York Times over who's a public figure, who can be sued, that kind of thing.
I got to say, though, for all you learn in law school, it does kind of ruin you in certain very specific ways. I cannot walk into a supermarket without seeing torts everywhere. Someone could slip on that. Somebody could fall over here. Why is that not properly illuminated?
Do you remember? I think it was the first week. I forget the name. It begins with a V. The eggshell leg. Speaking of torts, one guy kicks the other. All he did was kick him, but the guy had an eggshell leg, and he was immobilized with that leg for his life, and that was the point. You can't kick a guy in his leg. You don't know what will happen.
That's exactly right. You take the plaintiff as you find them. So if they happen to have a leg that's going to shatter,
yes.
So long as whatever you did, hit them with a car, trip them with something, is something that could have been reasonably foreseen to cause an injury, you're responsible for it. See, this is why people hate lawyers. They're sitting out there right now thinking, oh my God, these people are the worst.
Well, it's thinking, hey, be careful. You don't want to get involved with any of this stuff. That's right.
That's exactly right. But, you know, what I would like to remind people, though, keep in mind, and if Larry Krasner wasn't proof enough of this, I don't know who would be. You know, for every bad lawyer, you need good lawyers. And there are a lot of good lawyers out there that do tremendous work. So don't paint us all with the same brush. There are some of us out there that really care about the Constitution. There are some out there who, when we take that oath at the time we're sworn into the bar, take it extremely seriously. And I kind of think of it as like Jedi from Star Wars, Dan. We're a little bit of balance to the Force when it comes to all the bad lawyers.
If you had it to do over again, would you go into law? Because I had that choice and I chose this.
I definitely think I would have, and it's for the reason that I just articulated. I think that we need lawyers that care about the Constitution mm-hmm. to balance out those who think it's a blank slate that's theirs to fill in. Now, do I think law school should be changed? Yeah, I think it's ridiculous. You got to pay all that money to go sit in a classroom for 3 years and learn a lot of stuff that really you ultimately learn in practice. You don't need to hear it from a law professor.
Right.
But we all know that higher education is a racket. That could be an entire dom show unto itself.
When I was considering that, Matt, I remember we had a friend. My parents had the woman who rented to them down the shore. She was friendly with the magistrate court or people there. A lawyer, that's what it was. So and one night we went to this court case, and the guy had some major parking ticket or something. Where it's a pretty big amount. So he had a lawyer there in magistrate court. And the guy stands up and starts talking about the Constitution. And the magistrate, the judge, gavels him down and says, don't you ever bring up the Constitution at my court again. Oh, man.
Man.
Yeah.
I wish I was surprised by that. But listen, I mean, this is why I started Save Jersey. I started Save Jersey in 2008, not because of Barack Obama and my reaction to him as a conservative. I started because I was a lawyer in training in law school. And I just couldn't take it anymore. The insane ideas you hear from the legal community, you wouldn't believe it. Something else, Dom, that I think that a lot of your listeners are going to think is insane. Some are going to think it's okay. I know this is a touchy issue. Rutgers this year has announced that if you're going to attend Rutgers in the fall as a student, you're going to have to be vaccinated.
Right.
That requirement is not being extended to the faculty. They're advising them to get vaccinated. They're not requiring it. Here's my point. I'm crazy, Dom, but I'm not stupid. So I'm not here today to try to convince somebody that vaccines are the greatest invention of the past 100 years or they're terrible and it's a giant scam. What I will say is this. In New Jersey and Pennsylvania, and I suspect that there's probably not enough information in circulation about this, we are two of the worst states in the country for vaccinating the people that we know are the most vulnerable. That 65-plus age group. We've had about 80% of the deaths in the United States since the COVID pandemic began happen in that 65-plus category. But Pennsylvania is currently ranking the fifth worst in the country for vaccinating that category. And New Jersey, always trying to be in a horse race with Pennsylvania for doing it as bad or worse, we're in 10th place. So this is my question for everyone, Dom, and my question for you. You know, I'm not anti-vaccine. If you want to get it, if you're a consenting adult, God bless. But why are we focusing on vaccinating healthy people in their 20s and 30s who are at low risk for a negative mm-hmm. outcome for COVID-19 when Pennsylvania and New Jersey still haven't finished vaccinating their 65-plus population? I think we're only still at about a third of that population in both states.
Yeah, that's a great question. I didn't know the teacher part of it. And Matt, the other thing is, You would think these colleges right now have to be feeling the pinch. Well, I guess with Biden, maybe that's helping them. How can they put another restriction on people going to Rutgers, given they're not providing an education as it stands now? They have to feel some pressure with consumers in some way, shape, or form. But the fact that the faculty doesn't have to get vaccinated, well, that's the critical people you're trying to protect.
And it sends a really confusing message, doesn't it? Because we've had Anthony Fauci, who is probably in the age group of your average faculty member at one of these schools, wearing a mask even though he's vaccinated, because he tells us that it's important to remain masked even if you're vaccinated. And that's the opinion I know a lot of people share. Again, I'm not here in this broadcast to change your mind one way or another. My opinions are my opinions. But why are we not then applying that same standard to the faculty at Rutgers? Why are they going to stand in front of their students this September and talk to them, because you know they're going to talk to them about how awful Donald Trump was and how amazing the Joe Biden, I have to correct myself there, the Biden-Harris administration's response has been to the COVID-19 crisis, when they aren't following their own example? It's completely confusing. And I said it earlier today, talking about Joe Biden's press conference, the hypocrisy is what drives me nuts. Disagree. Be honest. Be forceful with your opinion. Just don't lie to me and make it so obvious.
Hey, coming up too, though, do you have a recipe since you're barbecuing?
I am going to refuse to give my special steak sauce out.
Well, wait a minute. Check that. Wait a minute. That small print that Greg Stocker had you sign here, I think you have to give it up if Dan and I ask you it.
Greg, my lawyers are going to call your lawyers, because if that was in there, we're going to have to talk about this. Because
all right. Also,
every man has his limits.
You wrote a stinging, if Murphy is reelected, at SaveJersey.com, the legalization of all drugs in New Jersey might follow. We got to talk about that a little bit.
Let's do it.
All right. Matt Rooney, Dom Giordano with you around the barbecue. Love the Bloomin' Onion. And Dan, well, what can we say for him?
When he's done gaming, he can come and have some Bloomin'
Onion. That's right. He's busy. He's probably gaming right now, right there. 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, all you have to do is push #1210. Your calls are next on Talk Radio 1210.
The Rich Cioli Show, mornings 5:30 to 9 on Talk Radio 1210.
Welcome back, Pennsylvanians and New Jerseyans. This is your favorite blogger, Matt Rooney, guest hosting on 1210 WPHT, along with my hero and yours, Dom Giordano, in this beautiful...
Stop it. More. We only have 45
Saturday.
Minutes. Yeah.
I'm just doing everything I can here to try to trigger my main man, Dan, here.
Yeah.
I almost opened the mic and started yelling at you, but I'll let Dom have that moment. You can call him your hero. It's okay.
Well, you know what? I think some of it, I'm just trying to reinforce my image of him after that horrible vegetarian comment he made on the
not
other
only
side
that,
of the break.
Not only that, and also admitting to not being an outdoorsman on today's show. Dom.
I'm just imagining sitting inside with him eating broccoli, and I just, it ruins.
Oh, no, I don't eat broccoli. It's the kale drink that I'm going to have a kale drink after the show.
Dom's the proponent of the green drink.
All right, there's a little bit of honey in it, too. A lot of honey, yeah.
Well, I do have some interesting news for you then, Dom. I don't know if it's going to be ready by summer 2021, but just imagine this with me. It's summer 2022. And Dom Giordano's down in North Wildwood in the summer. He's going to enjoy a beautiful weekend at the Jersey Shore. He can drink his kale drink, or he might be able to get into something a little bit harder. Because in New Jersey, there is a push on, and I think it's going to have legs if Governor Murphy gets reelected, to legalize all drugs, not just marijuana, which New Jersey voted to legalize back in November. And is in the process of implementing right now. But there was an article in NewJersey.com this week that there's a bunch of very influential liberal groups, including New Jersey Policy Perspective, which if I want to try to explain that to somebody who's not plugged into New Jersey politics, Dom, that's kind of like the liberal version of Heritage Foundation, but in New Jersey.
Okay.
So they're very influential on the left. And then Governor Murphy was asked about it on Monday, and he said he's open to the idea, which in Phil Murphy speak, that means, yeah, I'm going to do it. I just can't talk about it right now because I'm running for re-election and running on legalizing shrooms and heroin and cocaine in the suburbs might not go over so well. So summer 2022, Dom, it's going to be one for the books, I think, down at the Jersey Shore if Phil Murphy gets another term in office.
Well, we do know our buddy the mayor told us there will be a pot shop. I'm still working on that, Matt. And where you are in South Jersey, it's amazing how many communities have already put in ordinances anti-pot shop. But I think how many are going to do it? Wildwood is going to do it. I think Cherry Hill is going to have a pot shop right there. And I know the spot on 70 where I think it'll be. I love this debate. You know, people want it in Jersey. We're clear on that. Would that lower or would it not have any impact if it's in your town, if your town is known as a pot shop town?
Well, the left often makes this argument about guns, right? I mean, what's the difference if you have one in your town if there's a recreational pot dispensary one town over? If you're in Cherry Hill, what's to stop you from driving over to Haddon Township or Merchantville or Pennsauken and buying your weed, just the same as it would stop you from buying any other product if you just had to drive one town away. So, look, you know, those that are in favor of legalized marijuana, if you think it's a personal right for you to be able to use and stick in your body the substance of your choice, you have to be willing to accept that towns should also have those rights. The voters of those towns should also have that opportunity to decide whether or not they want to sell it in their community. But ultimately, I don't think it's going to make much of a difference. But you know, this is what I would love to hear from people on, Dom, and I of course I always want your opinion. Marijuana, I think that there's a compelling argument to be made that if you are underage, just like if you're underage and you're consuming alcohol, it's something that can have a negative impact on your development. Your brain's still developing. So clearly taking a lot of liquor into your system or smoking a lot of pot, probably not the best thing in the world. Adults may be a different story. There's no safe way to use heroin. There's no safe way to use cocaine. There's no medicinal purpose that I've ever heard of. Maybe there's some rocker out there right now listening to this that disagrees with me. But there's no good reason to use those drugs. So what's the argument for it, Dom, other than to cater to a far left Democrat fringe that wants to turn everything into a social justice issue?
Well, I saw it firsthand. I saw the thing with marijuana is it's a really subtle thing. I had kids who in freshman year, they were in the college track, and a great number of them were marijuana smokers, pretty big. And when I got them as sophomores, they were in sophomore basic, the very dregs, you know, the type of thing you're not coming back through easily. It's a subtle type of thing rather than anything I could point to with this. But I don't know, Matt, it seems to me, let me challenge it a little bit here. You're up for it. Really, that Jersey with legal, I see the magic mushrooms thing, you know, because I think Oregon did that and maybe a couple of others. But what's the driving force, though, you know, that enough people would sign off on heroin, even in Jersey?
Well, you know, I mean, the magic mushroom issue is interesting. And, I have cards on the table here. Some of your regular listeners and certainly Save Jersey readers know this. I'm actually a municipal prosecutor in a few towns. I assist my firm with its prosecuting duties in a couple towns, mostly in South Jersey. So I see a lot of drugs come through. I can't tell you the last time I saw mushrooms. Mushrooms are rare in this part of the country, so that's definitely just a little bit of social justice warrior nonsense that with the New Jersey legislature even getting into that. That's more of a Western thing. But heroin, I'll tell you what I think it is. I think it's the same logic that goes into safe injection sites. I think that there's this idea that when someone makes a decision to stick poison in their body, we shouldn't treat that as a criminal or bad decision and reprimand them or punish them to change their behavior, we should recognize that they have an illness and address it in a different way. So, look, there's a discussion to be had about whether or not addiction is strictly an illness or how much human agency plays into that initial decision to stick a needle in your arm and inject it. But ultimately, I think we need to have a practical discussion. Who are we really serving here by enabling addicts? What legitimate purpose does selling heroin serve for society? And most importantly, is the purpose of freedom that people just do every darn thing they want? Or is freedom married with responsibility? And we have to accept that in order to have a civilization, we got to set some kind of boundaries. I mean, if freedom was doing everything you wanted to do, why can't I have a tank in my backyard and just fire shots into the woods? I mean, there's an obvious reason, because it can hurt people. Same thing with heroin. There's no legitimate purpose. And if I inject myself with heroin and get behind the wheel of a car and go driving down Route 70 right now or the Atlantic City Expressway, I can do a lot of damage.
Does George, now I know Camden probably has needle exchange, right? But there's none outside of Camden in our listening area. Is there any other needle exchange?
I think there's one in Atlantic City, isn't there?
Yeah, I count that in as like a better form of Camden maybe. But other than those sorts of things.
Yeah, you know, for whatever reason, the safe injection site idea has not as had much currency, as much currency on this side of the bridge. And I candidly don't know why, because New Jersey is a pretty liberal space. I think that maybe it has something to do, Dom, with the fact that we're a very heavily suburban state, even more so than Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that's it.
And we know something, Dom, you and I and your listeners, about suburban liberals, these Chardonnay moms, I think you were talking about on your show this week. They love these social justice-y ideas when Krasner and Kenny are implementing them in Philadelphia, 30, 45 minutes or an hour from where they live. But when it's in their own backyard, they have a very different opinion. There's a lot of NIMBY going on, not in my backyard, with the left in 2021. So I think that's probably the answer to your question.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's suburban. Camden's the only place that I know. Here it's Philadelphia. No place else has done it yet. And I would challenge anybody. I've been there two times. I can't go back again. It's a scene out of hell to see what goes on. It's beyond belief. You want to watch for week after week. All right, so it's 855-839-1210. You can get in with Matt and Dom. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you just push #1210. We'll get you on board on a beautiful Saturday here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
There really is only one app you need.
The Radio.com app.
Download it now and take Talk Radio 1210 WPHT anywhere.
Not to worry, monsoon come. Now I don't know.
Welcome back, Delaware Valley. This is Matt Rooney with you on 1210 WPHT with the great Dom Giordano. I'm Matt Rooney. I'm co-hosting. If you want to get in on the conversation, you certainly should. 855-839-1210. We're talking about drugs. And when we were off air a moment ago, producer Dan, I think, had an interesting point, which it's worth hearing.
Yeah, so this comes from a school out in Sydney who has a whole study about this idea of decriminalization, of legalization of all drugs, including hard drugs we're talking here. What they say is one of the arguments for legalization is that it would eliminate or at least significantly reduce the illegal black market and criminal networks associated with the drug trade. Other arguments include moving the problem away from police and the criminal justice system and concentrating responses within health. But Matt, the thing I wanted to drill down on is that's one of the biggest arguments I hear about this drug legalization side of things, is that almost all of crime that we experience here in the States is directly reflected to the drug trade and such, and eliminating the illegality of drugs would eliminate the illegal drug trade and the crime associated with it. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't think that's true, though. And I think it's missing a very important point that, you know, we're never going to have a utopia, Dan, as much as some on the left would tell us that's the goal of our existence here on Earth, to create a perfect society, perfectly fair, perfectly just, perfectly woke. And in this context, here's what it means when the rubber hits the road, that organized crime in particular, if they no longer can profit off of a black market trade for drugs, they're going to find some other way to make money and to service people that want to participate in vice. So, yeah, maybe they're not making money selling the heroin, selling the cocaine, but they are certainly going to service that heroin addict or that cocaine addict and their other desires, whether it be prostitution, whether it be some kind of credit card fraud, or other ways to make a buck off of people who, because they're using drugs, they've lost their free will.
I would answer
it's an oversimplification.
Matt, I would answer it this way. What they're going to do is they're going to give you something more potent. How many times have we seen in Camden, someplace like that, somebody dies and suddenly there's a run on wherever that drug is? That's insane, but that's what happens. So they, and some kind of pot store is one thing, but something with heroin, how much would you determine to give a person? So if you're only going to give a limited quantity because you don't want them to overdose or die, somebody else is still going to give them more illegally.
That's exactly right. And I can tell you, as a guy that prosecutes in New Jersey municipal courts for a living, we see drugs come and go. Sometimes heroin is the drug du jour that we're seeing either for possession or we're seeing.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Matt, but I'm very curious. I may never have a chance to ask again. Why is that? Is it like fashion? It's just trendy. Why at periods of time is the hot thing heroin? Then we go through eras where it's meth or something like that. I can never figure out what drives it. Is it a celebrity use? Is it potency? What drives it to change back and forth?
It's something that is going to be very familiar to our conservative listeners out there. Supply and demand.
Okay.
So for whatever reason, whether it be international drug supply chains, whether it be, as you said a minute ago, Dom, the law enforcement communities cracking down on a particular substance, there's something else that steps into the breach to make up for the demand. And certainly demand affects prices. Supply affects prices. There's also the other angle you brought up, which is that even though drug dealers, some of them are not the sharpest tools in the shed, there's obviously a lot of very smart people in the drug trade. If they weren't smart, they wouldn't be making billions of dollars a year. So it's not as if the heroin that people were injecting into themselves 20 years ago is the heroin that's being slung in Camden or Philadelphia today. These substances are getting more potent. They're changing over time. So there's interest in new products. So, like I said, oversimplification.
Well, it seems to me I get the image of cocaine. Think about in pop culture, the image of cocaine, high-flying people, right? Yeah. You can deal with it. It's a party thing. When you say heroin, though, there's no pop culture thing that says heroin is within any boundaries. I mean, that's the sense I have of it, right?
I think it's easily described this way, and I had this very similar conversation with a family member on this topic. And heroin, what happens is, even if it was legal, this don't get me wrong, this issue would be much worse. But with heroin, and you hear gateway drug all the time with marijuana. But you smoke marijuana, it's like a blanket of warmth comes over you. There's a high to it that heroin kind of exemplifies. It's that on steroids. So what happens is people get used to the marijuana, and then they'll have somebody say, hey, how about you try this heroin? It's a little bit cheaper, and it gets you much more high. And then you instantly get hooked. That's how it happens.
Yeah, I think that it's a certain type of person, right? Because we could all go out for a drink tonight and have, you know, whiskey, vodka, whatever our poison is. And most of the people at that bar are going to be able to drink it and be able to put it down. And they're going to be able to leave safely and live a normal day. But there's one person out of 10 that are drinking at that bar that are not going to be able to handle it. And drugs really function the same way. In my personal experience,
I got to intervene and just say, though, with heroin, see, this is a mindset. I just think if someone says that to you, you got to be in your mind. I haven't degenerated to heroin. You know, I'm not looking at it as a pharmaceutical. I have an image of that. Just go through anything pop culture, and I think I'm on solid ground. Heroin is always seen as the end of the line.
it is the end of the line. And I think that's perfectly reasonable. I don't think that anybody, you may watch, Gordon Gekko, right? And
yes,
for whatever deranged
cocaine,
reason.
Right.
Yeah. You might think like, oh, cocaine is what people use if they're successful. So it's been glamorized, or Tony Montana, right? Scarface. Yeah, heroin. I think that a lot of people that are getting into heroin right now are people that got hooked on opioids. Mm. Maybe sometimes for a valid reason, or maybe it's just something they wanted to try to drown the pain. And it led them down to a dark, dark hole. So should we be trying to help those people? Why are we trying to legitimize it? That makes absolutely no sense in a free society, because we've all known people that have dealt with this addiction, Dom. It robs them of their agency. They're not making a free choice to continue using it.
No, absolutely right. 855-839-1210, you can get in. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you just push #1210 and we'll get you on board. So we've started off talking about barbecue. That's how talk radio works, and we end up talking about heroin and cocaine. What else do you have today, Matt?
Yeah, when you come over for the barbecue, Dom, I just want to be clear. There will be a blooming onion. I'm going to have some veggie options for you. We will not be serving heroin.
Now, my favorite dish, I got to say, what I liked, and, this can be blackened, is Jersey corn barbecued. That is just tremendous.
Jersey corn blackened. If you want to make it a little unhealthy, get ready for this. You can have a little bit of blue cheese on the side. You can dip it in the blue cheese.
Ew,
that's fine too.
Ew, it sounds disgusting. It's no.
Dan, you're canceled.
Blue cheese? What is this?
Oh, it's a great combination. Oh. Blue cheese goes good with anything. If you filled a shoe with blue cheese, I'd probably eat it. But
Dom, how are you grilling the corn? Are you wrapping it in
tin foil?
Tin foil.
Yeah, tin foil.
You ever
yeah.
do it in the husk?
No.
No,
I've never
it's
done
really
that.
Good. It's,
yeah?
it's really good if you do it in the husk. Yeah, you got to make sure the husk is white before though.
A corn tip of the day. Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah, they do it in Indiana. That's how they do it all the time at the state fair out there. That's how I learned.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty good too. And I think it pairs very well with the Jersey tomato when they're nice and red with mozzarella. Ooh. And you make a little caprese salad. You can put a little balsamic on there if you want to have it.
Wow, that's very nice. So see, there's plenty of stuff to eat here. Yeah.
This is my only talent besides talking. Eating. So I don't know what to tell you, folks. That's why I went to law school.
It's not even cooking, it's eating.
Yeah, pretty much just eating, right. I want somebody else to make it for me.
So are you headed on over to Arnie the Butcher's there, right? Is he open on a Saturday?
Yeah, he's going to be open. You know, I was actually just thinking about this because we're doing this radio thing on Saturdays now. He might close at 5 o'clock. I might be out of luck. I should have gone before the show.
Now, wait a minute. See, if you're a talk radio host, this is a little known thing. People will hang out for an extra 10 minutes there. I'm telling you. They will. Arnie, if you're listening, stay there to 5:10. Come on.
Matt needs his meat.
Yeah, there you go.
I need his meat.
Yeah, there you go.
Please, help me out, Arnie.
Yep.
Here's hoping he's listening.
Yeah, 855-839-1210, AT&T and Verizon Wireless. You just push #1210. Love to have you get in. Dom Giordano, Matt Rooney here on Talk Radio 1210.
It's great to be here with you on 1210. WPHT. This is Matt Rooney co-hosting with Dom Giordano. If you want to be part of this, which I don't know why you wouldn't, 855-839-1210. I love the Chili Peppers. Great call on that one, whoever's call was.
Yeah, it's my guy over here. My
one of my favorites. It really puts me in a summer barbecue mood, too. Not going to lie. It's great summer barbecue music. But, you know, Dom, we're talking a lot about the summer here, and it makes sense to start getting excited about it because of how amazing the weather is today. But a lot of parents all over the country, but certainly here in my state in New Jersey, still suffering through remote schooling. The school year is still on. And we've been getting some mixed messages. Governor Murphy said this week that it's his plan that there's not going to be a remote option for the fall 2021 semester, which we understand why he's changing his tune now, because he's up for re-election this year. He doesn't want to tell the suburbs that they're going to have to try to teach their kids new math from the kitchen table via Zoom for several more months. But Joe Biden's education secretary is not committing to reopening schools.
That's right.
in the fall. Let's go with clip 11, Dan.
Your anticipation for the fall, I saw an announcement that Governor Phil Murphy from New Jersey just announced, I think, that he will not allow any remote education in the fall. I know there are parents who are still hesitant and worried. We don't know the trajectory of vaccines. It seems to me that getting all kids in class makes sense. Do you have a position? Does the department have a position on that?
You know, it's premature to tell. One thing that I know as a former commissioner of education, COVID-19 numbers will dictate how we move to reopen schools. So it's not just about what's happening in the schools. It's about what's happening in the community. If as members of our community, we can follow those mitigation strategies to make sure that our schools are safe places for our students and for our staff, we should have students in school next year. We should have them in school in the spring. I really want to move forward this spring to safely reopen schools as much as possible. For K-8 is the goal, but we also know we have high schoolers that are waiting for their drama club to start, for their band, for those graduation ceremonies that are so important. So we really need to make sure we're following the mitigation strategies and doing everything to get our students in school now.
But hold on a second. I thought we were following the science and letting the data determine dates, and we were listening to the experts. The CDC has said for a while now that in-person learning is perfectly safe. So here we have the Biden administration talking as if there's still some stuff we need to do, yet they're still refusing to give us a hard date or give us a hard position on getting kids back to where they belong and where they actually learn and where they can socialize in the classroom. I'll tell you what this is about, Dom, and if there's any teachers out there, they may have an inside perspective on this, but in that American Rescue Package, we heard so much about this wonderful new $1 trillion spending package out of Washington. There was $86 billion in there for bailing out failing pensions. A lot of these states like New Jersey have incredibly mismanaged pension funds. And it's pretty obvious what's been going on from day one. These teachers' unions that wanted a bailout have been digging their feet into the sand, waiting for federal money. I think they want more. I think they're holding out to see if they can get the Biden administration to make the deal just a little bit sweeter.
I think they've gotten that. I think it's even worse than that. First of all, too, he's not following the science. The school is not dependent on the rate of infection outside the school. We've been through this 100 times. It's the safest place for kids. It depends upon the mitigation strategies you're using in school. Matt, just by my gut and being a former teacher, I think it's about power more than anything. In other words, they're sending a reminder. When we come up for more contracts, when we get into that, remember, we have the power. We're going to determine when we get back in school. I don't see how they're going to get more money out of this. I don't think that's in the pipeline here. I would be very surprised.
Is that a sad indictment of where we are in the education
system?
Yeah,
I think it's even worse. So money we all get, as bad as that is, I think this is just a power. And there are people, it's hard to tell how many. I'd make this point. If you're a good teacher, it's much more difficult to teach by Zoom. It's cumbersome. There's a lot of stuff with the parents constantly, et cetera. If you're a slacker, though, this is probably an easier thing. You don't have to commute. You don't have to go to school, et cetera. You're probably feeling you're getting away with more. And you can be doing this from anywhere. God knows how many of them are at the Jersey Shore or wherever they might be.
And you said it a moment ago, Dom. You're a former teacher. My mother's probably listening out there right now. She's a teacher. There are so many teachers that want to do a good job. They care about these kids.
Exactly.
They didn't go to school and go through all this training and go through student teaching and deal with the parents screaming at them and the administrators that don't back them up. They didn't go through all that work to stay at home and see these kids slip through the cracks on Zoom. They did it to train and educate the next generation. The problem is we've got a teachers union that, even though there's some local leaders that have their head screwed on correctly, as you said a moment ago, Dom, whether it's about money, whether it's about power, it's certainly not about the kids at this point.
No, and it's just, God knows if summer school is playing into this too, as obnoxious as that is. I don't get to play there, but Randy Weingarten, we've had on, Matt, and Randy Weingarten even then was talking about summer school to remediate. Now, they'd be charging time and a half or double time or whatever. I don't know if they want to go to – I'm the biggest enemy I take to arms over this idea that kids ought to go to school in the summertime. So I don't think it would be mandatory, but there might be a money play there. There might be an agenda play there. Let's have kids in school in the summer to make up for stuff.
And it's about time that Randy and some of these other union leaders show us their math, show us their science. I saw recently the head of the teachers union, you were mentioning a minute ago, said that, no, you know, 3 feet is not enough distance between the kids, which is the current recommendation. Where's the science for that? Where's the math? Where's the study? Where's the expert opinion to back it up if this isn't just a power play? If this isn't something that is really about enshrining the teachers' union's role as the leading public sector union in the country that, you know, I know they're powerful in Pennsylvania. In New Jersey, there is no one more powerful than the NJEA. People don't know. Phil Murphy was prepared to take a pretty hard stance back before the beginning of the last school year on reopening. Changed his mind at the last minute and let districts make an individual choice because the NJEA came out at the 11th hour and hammered him over it. Absolutely hammered the guy. When has Phil Murphy or any other Democrat governor ever cared about local control? It was the first time I've ever seen in all the years I've been covering politics. That's the power these unions exert. It's shocking.
It is. It is. We lost Dom here, Matt, but we're coming up on the end of the show. So why don't we say our goodbyes?
Well, listen, once again, 1210 PH, WPHT family, it has been an amazing opportunity to be here with you this Saturday. We laughed, we cried, we made fun of gamers, sorry, Dan. And we talked about some really important issues. And along the way, hopefully you got a couple of half-decent recipes for your barbecue this weekend. I'm Matt Rooney of SaveJersey.com. Hopefully we'll see you again soon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!